let's get right to it, shall we? 416-870-0590, star 590. 1-888-666-0590. Kevin Barker, if I told you that Isaiah Kiner-Falefa would be pitching or making a pitching appearance before Jordan Romano this year, if I told you that in spring training, you would not have believed that. The Blue Jays, no hit by Ronel Blanco. Kevin Barker, Ronel Blanco threw 86 changeups all of last year as a reliever. He threw, what, 32?
36.
Today? 36. Pardon me. So he threw almost half as many changeups today as a starter as he threw last year. Clearly, I mean, the Jays, they didn't have any answer at all. He faced 29 batters in throwing the no-hitter, two more than the minimum. I told you, Kevin, that was close to a perfect game. And I'll tell you what, that might be the easiest no-hitter I've seen. I think I've seen about a dozen no-hitters covering them. That might be the easiest I've seen.
Yeah, it's like him and Diaz were just playing catch together, right? It was, you know, you throw the slider away on the black, you miss off the plate. You can throw the change up, make sure it's down, right? You get good arm speed on it, you have a little decent run to it. You throw it to lefties and righties. You know, you got enough fastball because you've thrown enough of the secondary stuff for strikes. The fastball looks a little bit harder. You get some really weak swings on the elevated fastball. The Jays had good pitches to hit. Like, he wasn't perfect. And I mean, he was, you know, he established the slider away and the changeup in, and good arm speed on the changeup, and his misses were good on both of those pitches, but they got some decent pitches to hit. I still don't understand sometimes when dudes are just taking you behind the woodshed, why you don't do a little moving around the batter's box. Like, am I the only person that noticed that they were throwing, or he was throwing, a bunch of balls away to righties? Do something different. Stand a little closer. Make him uncomfortable. I mean, what do you got to lose? Why go up there and stand in the exact same spot all the time and look the exact same way? You know, it's sort of sometimes you bring a few things on yourself. And I'm not saying Blanco wasn't great. He was. Like, I mean, he was throwing it where he wanted to throw it.
They did not square up a lot of balls tonight. There were two really well-hit balls tonight, I would say.
That's my point. Even more to my point is, I just don't understand. Occasionally, I'm not saying you do it all the time. They're creatures of habit. It's very hard to move around in the batter's box. But when somebody's just got it going, and he's making you look the way he's made you look all night, I just think about halfway second time through the order, do a little moving around. Try something different. I mean, somebody trying to lay down a bunt, I'm not for the bunt thing, but try and break it up. Get him a little uncomfortable on certain parts of the strike zone. If you do that, at least you have a chance to pass the baton that way. Maybe, you know, get him a little uncomfortable, get him in the stretch a little earlier. I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm just, you know, you mentioned that it was the easiest looking no hitter that we've seen in a very long time. And, you know, I think they could just have made it a little tougher, right? Stick your nose in there, be a tougher out. And if they would have done that, maybe things would have been a little different. But, again, you got to tip your hat. The changeup was special. What did he get? He had 24 swings on the changeup. He had five called strikes. He had 10 whiffs. Like, that was sort of the pitch he could go to work both sides of the plate. And then when he got comfortable throwing it to the middle of the order, he wasn't minding, you know, mixing around all quadrants with the other couple of pitches. So he's really good. You know, he was really good, and the Jays lineup didn't do anything.
That, if you're interested, it's the earliest no-hitter by date in MLB history.
Wow.
So here we are, April 1st, April Fools, everybody. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Bowden Francis got the start for the Blue Jays. We talked about this in Blair and Barker. Kind of similar stories. I mean, different paths to the major leagues for these two guys, but two guys that were getting their chance in the starting rotation in Ronel Blanco and Bowden Francis because of injuries. Bowden Francis, probably going into spring training, he probably thought he had a better chance of being in the Blue Jays rotation than Ronel Blanco. What did you see from Bowden Francis today?
Yeah, there were some good things. I mean, he was 18 for 26, throwing strike one. I mean, that's good enough. He's a big guy. He had seven strikeouts. That's good enough. Like, you know, the curve was good. The more he threw it, the better he got at it, right? His location, it was really good arm speed on it. You know, he had really good extension on it. That's why, you know, you got some big misses from it. I mean, they weren't even close on some of the strikeouts. With that, it's just glove side command, right? You saw the home run to Tucker. He wanted to go away. He left it up. That was a decent pitch. That was better hitting. The Diaz thing, same thing, right? He wanted to go away with a fastball. He left it middle up, even though it was up, it was still middle. And a dude like Diaz, who's got lots of power and looking middle, doesn't have to be right down the middle. As long as it's middle and you miss your spot if you don't throw 99 miles an hour, most of the time you can't get away from that. Look, I'm not saying you probably could have, you know, seen this coming, but with what the Astros haven't done the last four games, it's, you know, Bowden Francis's first start. You know, there was some unknowns, just what it would look like second and third time through. It was just, you know, you got a little something to build off of here. The box score is not exactly what he wanted it to be, but there is some things. I mean, he threw enough strike ones. The slow curveball was really good. You know, the more he got into the flow of the game, I think the fastball command, you know, was in more quadrants. I think the Astros, at least early in the game, had a good game plan on the elevated fastball. So he's got some things to build off of. And you sort of try to race it. You throw this in the garbage can, you move on and live to fight another day.
10-0, the Blue Jays have been no-hit by the Houston Astros in the first of a three-game series. Sam in Hamilton, welcome to Blue Jays Talk, my friend.
Sucks to get no-hit so early. And, you know, about Bowden Francis, is spring training real or is it fake? Because I want to believe in Bowden Francis, but I don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot of great guys who have had great springs and not turn out. So I'm a little skeptical about him. And, you know, the offense, I mean, Dalton Varsho's gotten off to a slow start again. Kiermaier's batting average isn't as good as we want it to be so far. I know it's four games in, but the guys who didn't have good seasons last season aren't really starting the season off with a bang.
Yeah, listen, appreciate the call. It is, you know, I was just thinking about Dalton Varsho. We spent all spring singing his praises. I don't know, Kevin. Again, we're only five games in, but it looks a lot like it did at times last year for him. You know, and Bowden Francis, listen.
It's his first start.
We have to keep in mind it's his first start.
Yeah.
And we have to keep in mind what Bowden Francis is. Bowden Francis is the fifth starter in this team.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what he is. Alek Manoah is healthy. Bowden Francis probably isn't on the team as a starter. He's probably in the bullpen as a long reliever. So I'm less inclined to talk about or worry about Bowden Francis tonight than I am about the fact that the Jays, after a game in which they scored nine runs, were hamstrung by a guy. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it didn't come up in the hitters meeting that he throws the changeup. I don't know. But again, I kept waiting, and I think you did too, Kevin. I kept waiting for that adjustment, second time through, third time through. I kept waiting for something that suggested to me that all this stuff I heard in spring training was going to come to fruition. As I said, it looked to me the way the Jays looked an awful lot last
year. Yeah, I think so. I do think sometimes you got to tip your hat. Like, he was having a good night. The changeup was really good. I'm sure because there's probably a reason why you don't throw the changeup a lot. Now, obviously, being in the pen, you're probably a two-pitch guy, right? It's a four-seamer slider. You know, this is probably a work in progress, understanding that he's been working on this in spring training. I don't think anybody thought it would be this good. It's got good run to it. It's got good arm speed to it. There's a big difference between that and the fastball velocity, which is a big deal. And for me, it started with you get him looking away. We saw this. I told you this today on our show, that the first game against the Rays, they were all quadrants, right? It was in, it was up, it was down, it was away. After that, the next three games, it was everything away. Right? It was glove side, even to the lefties. It was into the lefties, it was the way to the righties. Did you see anything different from him tonight? Now, again, it was the different speed on the changeup, which it had good run to it. And, you know, I think he got really confident in it when he threw it to Vladdy the first time. That's sort of when, you know, Vladdy was taking some real big giant hacks. I'm sure he's seeing that Crawford box over there thinking, you know, I don't have to do a ton to hit a homer here. I just get it out a little bit and stay through it. He was swinging on his heels a little bit because he was over swinging. And I'm sure that gave him enough confidence to continue to go to it. And, you know, not everybody in the lineup is Vladdy. So I think it's sort of, you know, this is, again, I just don't understand that adjustment in the batter's box. Why you let a dude do the same thing to you over and over again? I thought she's a veteran team. Like that part of it, I don't understand. If you're going to get beat, get beat fighting. Like, do something different. Stand different in the play. Make the target smaller for him. Make him do something else. Make him not, you know, throw a first pitch slider away for strike one. Like, take that away from him. Force him to do something else. Jeff, did you see any of that? I didn't. No. That, for me, was the frustrating part of all this, because they are very smart in the batter's box. They have tremendous game plans going in. But occasionally, you just got to throw that out the window and say, this dude's got good stuff. We got to stick our nose in here and figure this out. And we just didn't see that. For me, that's frustrating.
Yeah, and we talked coming into this game about the Astros. Their middle relief wasn't good. They didn't have, we're led to believe, they didn't have Josh Hader tonight. Like, I'm not saying that they were going to be easy pickings, but the Astros were a bit of a hurting group coming into this game, and lo and behold, they get a no-hitter from Ronel Blanco. Further to your point, that fourth inning, and I know Chris LaRue and Ben talked about this as well. So did Dan and Buck. The righty and righty changeup. He just had no fear throwing the righty and righty changeup. He got Turner and Turner to chase on the one, and Vladdy got called out and struck out on another one as well. He had no fear throwing it.
Yeah, you get the lead right too. You get confident.
Sure.
Again, for me, he found his lane middle of the way to righties. When you find your lane middle of the way to righties, you get a lead. Now you can go, well, let's start sprinkling that thing in. Maybe that thing will get us some quick outs. You know, we can work through this, go a little deeper in the game, and then you start seeing the hacks that you started seeing. You started throwing it more. You throw it 36 times, and the next thing you know, you got a no-hitter. So that's just the frustrating part of it. I hate that you came on here and the first thing you said was, that was a pretty easy-looking no-hitter.
It was. It was easy.
Jay's got too good a lineup to do that. Mm. Like, again, go down fighting. And I just don't know why we don't see that, right? Stand on top of the plate if you have to. Like, do something different. Get closer to, I don't know, do something that's outside the box to make him uncomfortable. And they did nothing. They took the same old hack every single time. And a dude that was locating a couple of different pitches with a couple of different speeds took you behind the woodshed. And I think sometimes you bring a little bit of that on yourself, not taking anything away from him by any means.
Right.
But they helped out a little bit when they didn't really have to.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. The Blue Jays have been no hit in the fifth game of the season. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa pitching the eighth inning for the Blue Jays. Look, I think it's embarrassing. I'm sure people think it's funny seeing position players
pitch.
Fifth game of the season.
He's your starting third baseman.
Goins throwing his arm out, pitching, coming in and pitching in that Canada Day game, hurting his arm and going.
Well,
that's later in the season.
That's later in the season.
Yeah, but my point. My point is. Yeah, I honestly think that if you use a position player in the game, you should be forced to play the next game a reliever short. I think you got to play two relievers short.
Well,
it's really a bad look. I'm sorry. I think it's really a bad look. I understand why the Jays do it. They're clearly within their rights to do it. It's clearly part of the rules. To me, it's embarrassing though. To me, it's embarrassing to have to do it this early in the season. Greg in Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, so thanks, guys, for taking the call. First of all, I love you guys. You guys are doing an amazing job. For me, I was just looking at it, and I'm thinking, you know, Houston lost 4 to New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Jays come in tonight, and you got a fifth starter. And you get no hit by – when was the last time that you saw a fifth starter no hit a team, first of all?
I mean, the Jays got tagged in a no-hitter last year, don't forget, by the Detroit Tigers.
Okay. So the point I'm trying to make is, if you've got a fifth starter, what are the Jays going to do in the playoffs? If you cannot get a hit against a fifth starter, what are you going to do in the playoffs if you can't make adjustments?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the call. I don't think we can necessarily make that leap. I don't think you can, it's the same thing. Well, the Yankees swept the Astros. The Jays came in and were no hit by the Astros. So therefore, does that mean that the Jays are going to lose all their games against the Yankees? I mean, you can't make that jump. You just can't. But I will say this. I agree to your point about making adjustments. It's something Kevin's talked about. It's not a good look.
It's real simple for me. Their plan is always do damage. Swing at things you can do damage on. Well, what if a pitcher ain't throwing you nothing you can do damage on? And he's pitching the way he was pitching tonight. That it's up to you now to make the adjustment to force him into the zone to get something you can drive. And they didn't do that. It's frustrating.
John Schneider is the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. He was asked about the no-show tonight.
A no-hitter is an outlier, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I think that we're doing all right with where we hope to be, you know, in terms of what the offense is supposed to do. Tonight is just, you know, it's one of those nights. You know, you give credit to a guy to do something really, really hard to accomplish, and a loss is still a loss. You know, you move on to tomorrow.
I mean, that is the good thing about baseball, is you get to move on to tomorrow. You've got Jose Berríos on the mound. You've also got Framber Valdez on the mound for the Houston Astros. I mean, he is right. No-hitter is an outlier. That's why we make such a big deal about them. It's why they're so rare. I've often wondered, Kevin, why we don't see more of them early in the year. Now, I understand the pitchers aren't built up yet. I get all that. But I have often wondered why we don't see a few more of them early in the year, because the pitchers are generally always ahead of the hitters. And I guess maybe it's just because the pitchers aren't, you know, they're not fully built up. That's probably the obvious reason.
I would think there's a combination of a bunch of things, right? It could be the weather. It could be, obviously, the pitch count. That's a big part of it.
Yeah. You know, you didn't have to worry about that tonight.
Well, guys don't have their best stuff either, right? The maintaining velocity, we've seen it. Velocity was all over the place. It was all over the place with Bowden Francis. It's all over the place with Kevin Gausman, Chris Bassett. Like, every one of these guys, velocity sort of all over the place. So that's probably the reason why. It just gets back to that. John's supposed to say that. Like, John's supposed to say that we like our offense where it's at. And I think every once in a while, you got to throw things out the window, game plans. No, I'm sure they had a great game plan going in there. Like, you know, they know exactly that this dude threw a bunch of sliders. Okay, well, after about the first time through when he's locating that thing, what you gonna do about it? Like, it didn't look to me like that they had any chance of hitting it. You know, they were out and around, they were over swinging at it. Credit to him, he was throwing really good ones, and you can tell that thing breaks late, and he's getting called strikes on it, which makes it even tougher. That's even further to my point of sometimes, occasionally, I'm not saying all the time, because they are creatures of habit, and they make tons of money to hit balls really, really hard. But every once in a while, dude just got it, and you need to make adjustments. Moving around, the first thing moving around would do to a catcher that knows what he's doing, he would look down and go, uh-oh, now what?
Yeah, they, Kevin,
just,
you know,
made
what
an adjustment.
Think,
now what do
but
we
you
do?
Know what that is? You know what that is? I think the reason for that is, that's because that isn't an analytical approach. Moving around isn't something that you would be told, that you would get. I mean, it's not. It's something you would have to do in your own. You know, we've talked about guys like Moises Alou. Tons of players moved around the box all the time.
Marquise Grissom used to move around the box all the time.
Larry Walker. I mean, a lot of guys I've covered.
Jeff Jenkins that I play with all the time.
They would move. I'm not saying it. Sometimes it's not that noticeable, but you'll see guys move just to give the pitcher a different look. Just give the put something fresh in the catcher's mind. And you know, if I understand that this guy's MO was a slider and fastball, I get that. But Kevin, through two innings, 12 four seamers, 12 sliders, and 8 changeups, I might have said to myself, the guy's throwing more changeups than we expected. Maybe we ought to do something different here.
Yeah, I think it was more for me anyway, the location of the slider and the called strikes he was getting. Like, his misses were really good. They were tough takes against that pitch. And the fastball, it looked like it had a little extra gear to it. And it was one side of the plate. It was glove side to the lefties and righties. And then he would sprinkle in the changeup, and it would have decent run down and away to both. Like, it would go into righties. And that was more arm side with the changeup. And he would go glove side with the slider. I'm just saying, occasionally you got to take one of them away. Guys got it going on. Mm. That's all. About second, halfway through the second time, you would think somebody would raise their hand and go, hey, maybe we need to mix it up a little. Let's try something different. And it just didn't.
Catherine in Bowmanville, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Good. Good evening.
Hey, Catherine.
I can still barely contain myself. I am so disgusted that the Blue Jays just walked off the pitch. They didn't have the decency, have the good manners to stand there and just give the guy a little applause. Good match. Good show. You beat us. We didn't do anything. You did the damage, you know. That was so disgraceful. It's like, you know, all those Canadian teams, they don't want to shake hands. They throw them. They didn't come here. They didn't win gold. We came for gold and only gold. How? Play up and play the game. Then you'll be a man.
Yeah, I don't know how many teams, Catherine. Thank you for the call. I don't know how many teams would line up to applaud an opponent throwing a no-hitter. Frankly, if I was a Blue Jays player, I just want to get the hell out of me. I might not even shower. I might just go back to the hotel. I mean, I might just pull a Bryce Harper in spring training the day you saw him gassing up his car in his sandals and his uniform. I might just walk back to the hotel and get the hell out of there. All kidding aside, it's you know, the most you're going to see is a team sit in the dugout and look out in the field and kind of digest what happened. But you usually only get that during the playoff game or something like that. I mean, it's just the way it is. And I think John Schneider's right. Look, these guys aren't going to show up tomorrow and be any less likely to beat Framber Valdez because there were no hit. It is an outlier. But I keep getting back to this. Yeah, it just is not the whole thing with IKF, and I'm not going to hammer that too much because that's just, it's just not a good look. It just suggests you're not competing. That's pretty much the way I would put it. And I know Kevin Cash, the Rays did that. I mean, how many times did the Rays have somebody pitch last year? I think IKF pitched three times last year for the Yankees that. So it's not that the Jays did something new or, as I said, went against the rules. It's just, man, it's just a bad look. Fifth game into the year, it's a bad look. To be having a position player pitching.
Yeah, I think sometimes too you're a little embarrassed, right? That you got no hit and you know, standing out there and applauding for a guy probably was not the easiest thing to do. I mean, he took him behind the woodshed. I mean, there's really nothing else you can say. He's really good. Like, it's, you know, yep. when that guy's really good and there's not a ton of adjustments being made in game, this is sort of the effect at the big league level, right? Especially when a guy can do it to both sides of the plate with different speeds. And then elevate with two strikes, man. That's next level stuff. And I think, you know, sometimes as an athlete, you're sort of a little embarrassed about that. You can't wait to get off the field, and that's sort of, you know, the way it looked for the Blue Jays tonight. You had your starting third baseman pitching in the eighth inning in Game 5 of the season.
I know. Yeah.
Like I understand why John did it because of who he doesn't have, and Cabrera's not going to be there tomorrow, and I get it. Like, they're going to be a man short, and it's going to be all hands on deck, but. It's the fifth game of the season. Like,
yeah. I think it's really embarrassing. I think it looks awful.
Won't be the last time we see it, though.
No, probably not.
Nope.
Probably not. And it may not be the last time we see it in the next week, the way things are going. But not even a bench guy. Your starting third baseman.
Yeah.
Was pitching.
Yeah.
The guy that you gave a multi-year contract to be your third baseman was pitching the game. He was. That's, let's just say it the way it was. 10-0. The Blue Jays have been no hit by Ronel Blanco of the Houston Astros. 29 batters to the plate. George Springer drawing a couple of walks. Other than that, as I said, Ronel Blanco was awfully close to throwing a perfect game. We'll take a break and come back with more. It's Blue Jays talk. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Look at that lineup. I think it's just tip the cap. They were ready for it. You know, sometimes those pitches are pop-ups. Sometimes they're swing and miss. Sometimes they're homers. I think it's just how it fell today.
Yeah, that was Bowden Francis. I don't know about Bowden, old Bowden. That 435-foot shot from Nainer Diaz, that was...
Yeah, but...
That was gone.
Is that his chin though, Jeff? I mean, to his credit, I know he missed his spot, but it was at his chin.
Yep.
Like every once in a while, you just I'm with Bowden. Every once in a while, you got to tip that hat and go, holy.
Nah, you know what? I'm not into cap tipping five games into this season.
No.
Nah, I'm not. I'm not into cap tipping. I'm sorry. I'm just not. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. The earliest no-hitter by date in MLB history. That's what we saw. That's what we heard tonight. 10-0, Ronel Blanco carving up the Toronto Blue Jays. Actually, the closest the Jays came, I just had to say this, the closest the Jays came to breaking up the no-hitter was in the eighth inning when Alejandro Kirk led off by smoking a ball off the pitcher's glove, rolled to the second baseman for your traditional 1-4-3 out. I mean, Altuve could have punted, kicked the ball over to first base to get Kirky. That was basically the closest the Jays came to breaking up that no-hitter. The only other real play of any consequence was Isaiah Kiner-Falefa's ball in the third inning, leadoff fly ball to left center, kind of a little farther to the left than maybe it gets into the Crawford boxes, but that was basically it for the Blue Jays. 10-0. The Jays have lost to the Houston Astros and Ronel Blanco. Joe in North York, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Question for you, and I'll listen to your answer off the air. If you had $1,000 to bet tomorrow, and this is a serious question, by the way, if you had $1,000 to bet tomorrow, what would you take? The Blue Jays make the playoffs or Framber Valdez no hits the Jays tomorrow? Thanks, guys.
I'd take the playoffs. I think right now
I had $1,000, I'm not betting on baseball.
We can all agree that I would think that they think that they're going to get sinkers down and away. If you're right-handed, you're getting a sinker down and away. I mean, it's pretty obvious that that's what you're probably going to get, Jeff. Like, we all can agree in that.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably, you know, you might want to think right center occasionally early in the game. Maybe think about trying to barrel something up. And, you know, he's really good too. You stay in the big part of the field. You're trying to look for something up. You're trying to square that thing up. I mean, is it? Doing it back to back, so I'm taking my chances on the. You know, I still think they're a playoff team. Like
I get the feeling this is going to be one of those years because of what we've seen from this team in the past couple of years, especially last year. I get the sense this is going to be one of those years where anytime there's a game where the Jays don't get a lot of hits, you know, people are going to just look back at last year and go, "Same old Blue Jays." Same old Blue Jays.
Yeah, I think the beauty of this thing is that, you know, that I don't think the Rays are much better than the Jays. I don't think the Mariners are much better than the Jays. Like, you know, those couple of teams are fighting for the same thing the Jays are. So, you know, you string together some things, you get some healthier pitching, and, you know, because that's what probably consistently you're going to be, is a run prevention team than an offensive team. I just wonder, will this things like this change your approach? You know, hitting's a lot mental. Like in the fifth game of the season, after you just scored 9 runs against the team, you got no hit against the guy most people, I could tell you, ain't never heard of.
Yeah, I think, though, you've got Framber Valdez is going to show up tomorrow with a pitch you weren't expecting to see.
Tomorrow, I'm saying, what's that going to do confidence-wise with the approach that they've been preaching to you? Maybe a little nothing, but I would think, you know, there's some flaws in what they're selling when it comes to, you know, you always got to buy into this. This is what you're buying into, and it's a simple, easy approach.
I think it's a little early to be talking about flaws. Now, Schneider's right. No hitters are they are an outlier. They really are an outlier. You know, I keep getting back to the fact that we talked to Jeff Blum about this today. At no point did Jeff Blum say, "Hey, you know what? You're probably going to see as many changeups from this guy today as you're going to see sliders." He didn't expect it. My whole point is, again, it was pretty obvious what Ronel Blanco's plan of attack was through the first two innings. Certainly by the time that the fourth innings rolled around, when Guerrero gets called out and strikes, Turner chases, Varsho chases, by that point you know what this guy's MO is. That it's been pretty well established that you're not going to see 60% slider or whatever it was you thought going into the game. And yes, you know what? It was a good pitch, but you're a veteran lineup. You should be able to adjust to it. Certainly by the seventh inning, you should be able
to adapt and overcome. Occasionally, you got to do that against a guy that's just feeling it. Like Blanco's feeling it, right? He was getting it going. There wasn't no thinking about it. Like, I'm getting it going. I've got a good release points coming off the fingers.
Yep.
That thing's going to go down and into a righty, down and away to a lefty, and I can throw my slider whenever I want to for a called strike, and I'm going to sprinkle around that fastball because I've already thrown my changeup, and now my fastball looks like it's 195 miles an hour. Occasionally, you got to take your batting gloves off and get a little dirty and stick your nose in there, and for me, I just didn't do that enough.
Having said that, being down 3-0 after the first inning.
It helps if you're wanting to
three home runs.
Play with a changeup, it helps to be up four or five runs.
Well, it helps.
Absolutely.
You can play with a changeup if you've got a four-run lead and the bases are empty.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, keep throwing it until – I mean, it wasn't even in this – how many times is he in the stretch? Not only did he have a new pitch.
One time until the ninth inning.
Yeah. So not only does he have his new pitch, his new toy, but he's pitching with a big lead. And he doesn't even have to worry about having a runner on base. It's just, as you said, it's him and the catcher. They're playing catch.
Yeah.
For the Houston Astros, when you look at Verlander, Urquidy, McCullers, Garcia, four-fifths of a real good starting rotation gone. A guy like this steps up, and at some point, we're led to believe they think they're going to get Verlander back by the end of the month. They think they're going to get Urquidy back by the end of the month.
Jordan Alvarez didn't even get a hit today either.
No. He had a walk and Alex Bregman struck out three times.
Yeah.
And popped up to the third to IKF and his other at bat. So basically your number two and your number four hitter did nothing. They were 0-for-8 with a walk.
Tucker and Diaz had four homers combined.
Yeah.
That'll do. Yeah.
Kyle Tucker is
he's way up there as one of the best left-handed hitters in baseball. And we don't talk about him a ton.
So Bark, 5-5. You happy if they come back 5-5 now? They're 2-3. Two more games against Houston. Then they're on to the Bronx.
No.
5-5 looks all 5-5 looks awfully good.
It sure seems that way because consistently the quality of the at-bats just not there. I mean, early in the season right now, you can pitch to them. Like, their best hitters are right-handed. A good pitcher that's got a good slider that they can get called strikes on and get them in swing mode. I mean, you can work through this lineup a little bit. It's the guy that can't do that. That's the one they hammer. So if you're looking at games they got a chance of winning, look for the guy that don't have the slider that can go middle of the way, and that'll like tomorrow, Framber Valdez.
I hate to say
maybe
it, though,
they got a decent chance.
They're 2-3, and I don't think, other than Zach Eflin in game one, I don't think you can say they faced elite starting pitching. The starting pitching is going to get a lot better from this point on between here, the Yankees, and then Seattle. They have not run into the best starters they're going to see yet.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit better this year. There's going to be some ups and downs. Like the guy that knows how to pitch, I mean, a lot of the times that'll happen, but it's that guy. Can you make adjustments? Can you just say enough's enough? I'm going to do this.
10-0, the Toronto Blue Jays. No hit tonight by Ronel Blanco. Remember the name. Jays get back at it tomorrow with the second game of this three-game series against Houston Astros. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Winnipeg and Winkler, Manitoba, which is only 7 kilometers from where I grew up. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.